Hello, everybody. It's Charles with the Barbershop Group Podcast. I'm glad to be back with you all. And today we are going to talk about some tactics and barriers that we guys use for avoiding therapy. That's right. We are having another therapy talk. We are hitting you in the head today with it. And so you guys have got to be ready for it. But before we do that, just want to make sure that you guys are being healthy out there. We're still dealing with this pandemic, of course, and probably some of you guys are also starting to get a little nervous about some of the political things that we see going on in the United States. So, man, try to keep your head on as tight as possible. Talk to your loved ones. Talk to your spiritual advisors, counselors, therapists. Get in touch with your doctors, make sure that your health is okay, because, man, I mean, a lot of what we are taking in through our eyes and ears does have an effect on the body. So be mindful of those things, okay? So again, today, man, we're talking about tactics and barriers, things that we do or say that keep us away from going to therapy, right? One of the first things that you know, you have probably heard some guys say is, there's nothing wrong with me. Going to therapy isn't about there's something being wrong with you, though, right? You know that. It's like going to the gym. You don't have to have anything wrong with you in order to go to the gym. You just may want to feel better about your physical appearance, or you may, go to the gym for internal reasons, like strengthening your heart. The same is true for therapy. You know, therapy is much like a trainer, right? You know, there's specialized knowledge that therapists have that can, like, you know, cut time for things like, you know, improvement at work. You don't have to go see a therapist because you're quote unquote crazy. You may just get to a point where you're like, hey, man, I want to smash in the door at work and get to the next level, get that next promotion and stuff like that. And you can go to a therapist for things like that. You can go to a life coach as well. But therapists do work with men on those issues as well, right? I mean, let's face it. Sometimes a person may have anxiety or something that may prevent them from, really, really becoming successful on their job. So a therapist could help you kind of put some tools in your toolbox to deal with the anxiety that you're facing on your job. Hey, if it adds to your wallet, why not look into it, right? So again, nothing has to be wrong with you in order to go to therapy. You hear a lot of guys say, yeah, I'm fine. Maybe something's kind of broken, but the therapy couldn't fix what I have going on anyway, right? I'm sure somebody's out there said that before, you know. It's real. But, you know, nothing has to be broken necessarily for you to go to therapy. That's not the point. You know, you should think of your therapist as a consultant, much like you would think about an accountant or an attorney, right? You know, there's nothing to fix necessarily, but there's something out there that they can help you understand better. There's something that they have that can help you manage what you have going on better, right? Why not check in to something like that? And of course, there are people who like to say, I can't do therapy. I'm the guy who's supposed to have my shit together. Now, you know what? Honestly, I have been guilty of that. Even though I see a counselor right now and a therapist as well, right? You know, yeah. And in fact, you know, even with COVID, I managed to pop into the occasional sobriety group for myself. You know, yeah, there are still times when I think I'm supposed to be able to just do this. I got to just be able to rock this out on my own. And that's just not true. You know, many men feel they have to have it all together, despite how miserable we feel, you know. But the truth is, it's really, really hard to do a good job when you feel miserable, right? So, you know, if you really need to have your shit together, or if you really don't have your shit together, you can't afford not to seek help, you know. A lot of people think, well, if I go to therapy, that means I'm weak. And doesn't mean that, you know. Any successful person in history ever, right? You know, you can really, really look at the difference between those who have been successful and those who've been unsuccessful, because, like, there's some core traits there, all right? Asking for help is actually a sign of strength. And there's a difference between, you know, acting tough and actually being strong. It's easy to act tough by pretending that problems don't exist, and that's what a lot of us guys do. But it takes a lot of strength to admit that we need help. For you all who are familiar with sobriety groups, you know, that's one of the first things that you acknowledge is you acknowledge your powerlessness, right? And there are guys who are not in sobriety groups who they've not been able to acknowledge their level of powerlessness yet. And that's really, really important when you want to consider making changes in your life. You know, one of the fifth things out there, again, a tactic or a barrier that keeps us guys from going to therapy is that, you know, you may hear someone say, man, they're going to sit there and judge me, and I'm not paying for somebody to judge me later for that nonsense, right? But a therapist isn't really there to judge you, you know? That's not what they're there for. They're professionals. So they look at you in the same matter-of-fact way, you know, your mechanic looks at your car's transmission. That mechanic doesn't judge the car's transmission, right? They just see what's going on with it, and they come back with some information for you about it. They care enough to assess the damage. They don't care enough to judge, right? That's not what they do. So keep that in mind when you're thinking about therapy. Now, here's something that a lot of guys don't say, but I know maybe they think it. And that's, I have a spouse or a partner that I talk to. I remember being younger and talking to guys, and I'd ask them, hey, who do you go to when you've got something heavy on your mind? A lot of guys said their spouses, their wives or whatever. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I took it for face value. But as I've gotten older, I know now that guys don't necessarily talk to their spouses about everything. Honestly, they don't. And if you're a woman listening to this, I'm sorry to break it to you, but your man ain't telling you everything that he experiencing. I'm just being real with you, okay? He's not. You know, talking to your spouse all the time isn't necessarily going to help, okay? And also, therapists are required by law to keep your secrets. Yeah, how many of you guys think your spouse is required by law to keep your secrets? No. You'll look up and piss your wife off, and she will have told all her friends and everybody on Facebook and Instagram and in between. So again, that's not the way you do that. Doesn't mean that you don't confide in your spouse at all. I'm not saying that. But, you know, there aren't those legal protections out there. I know that you like to think that they are just because you married her, but that's not necessarily true. So keep that in mind. Number seven, I have CBD for that. And I have vodka too. No. That's not what we're going to do. Okay? Yeah, both CBD and alcohol may help temporarily alleviate some symptoms of depression or anxiety. But neither one of those things really addresses the root causes and the best chance at sustainable recovery, you know, to get at those root causes, right? So you got to keep that in mind. There's simply not enough evidence out there about CBD or about anxiety that medical professionals have currently. And that is both mainstream medical professionals and alternative medicine professionals. Both are still in the midst of doing a whole lot of research. So despite the one or two articles that you've read out there, there's still a lot of information that people have yet to get their hands on. Some guys will say, hey, look, I went, but the therapist just sat there and didn't say anything. Well, I got a question for you. Why is it that you just sit there and make vaguely sympathetic noises but don't speak? Silence. No, but seriously, silence. Oh, okay, I get it. I guess it's because some types of therapy, you know, it isn't your job, or it isn't the therapist's job, rather, to talk to you the whole time. But sometimes a therapist is going to allow you to hear your own thoughts. And that can be really, really important for us guys because, you know, if we're honest, a lot of times we don't really even check in how we're thinking, what we're thinking, how we're feeling about what we're thinking. We don't get in touch with the whole body, all of our points, and really assess how we feel overall. And then piece by piece. We don't do a good job of that. And so sometimes it's really, really important to just allow ourselves to hear ourselves talk, to get it out. And I realize a lot of you guys don't want to pay for that, but it actually works. Okay? Now, there are guys out there who say sitting in a room to delve into your own muck seems like you're just covered in more crap. And who wants to do that? I don't want to sit around and talk about all my bad stuff and then just have bad stuff everywhere and now everybody feels bad. But check this out. Substitute physical therapists for psychotherapists and see if that makes any sense. Or try this one on. Physical therapy can be painful, sure, but it helps you get better. Same thing with your mind. Sometimes, when you have a cut, you just get a band-aid, and that's okay. Sometimes it's a deeper wound, and you have to go to the doctor. And if you don't address the problem, it's not going to heal. So, you might experience pain in the short term, but it'll make life so much better in the long term. Number 11, of course, I don't want to complain. And I think that applies to a lot of tough guys, self-made men, loners out there. I don't want to complain. But you don't have to complain. You don't have to talk shit about other people. You just get to talk however you want. And that's totally okay. If you're going to a therapist that's judging you, switch therapists. But typically speaking, they're there just to listen to you and take in whatever it is that you have to give. If you only show one hand, they're only going to talk to you about what's in that one hand. If you show both hands, well, you'll get a different response. The next thing that a lot of guys say is, well, once you go to therapy, like, you got to go for life, dude. You're never done. But not all therapy is long term like that. There are therapy sessions that last as few as 8 weeks. And those can be very effective, right? And those could be for certain fears like flying or elevators or things like that, or OCD issues, right? So, you know, in some cases, you may be in and out 3 or 4 hours and you're back on target, heading towards your goal. And that's pretty cool. See, it doesn't take a lifetime for you to fix certain things in your life, right? In fact, sometimes what people do is they start out with a therapist and then they move on to life coaches or professional mentors or something like that. There are all types of options out there that exist for you guys. But it's not like you got to do this for the rest of your life. And some people are just confused by all the freaking alphabets out there. I mean, let's face it. I don't know where to start, right? You got an MD, you got a PSYD, you got a PhD, a LCSW. What the hell? Like, what are we talking about? I know it. There's a lot of confusion around what the different mental health disciplines do. You know, in some ways, the degrees are just a bunch of letters at the end of a person's name. What matters more is your connection with the therapist. Now, it's not completely that those letters are irrelevant. They do mean something different. But what's really important is how you connect to the therapist. Okay? But generally, psychologists or PhDs or doctors of psychology and social workers, which are, you know, licensed clinical social workers, LCSWs, right? They're not all medical doctors and they can't prescribe medicine, of course, although there are some small exceptions. Now, psychiatrists, on the other hand, they do prescribe medication when needed. Being medical doctors, they tend to explore the link between neurochemistry and mental health. For example, considering a thyroid problem as a cause for depression, whereas psychologists consider behavioral patterns as you work together. So, that's the basic difference between like hardware and software. You don't have to worry too much about which type of therapist you should try first, though, right? So, because all the therapists network with each other and talk to each other about different things that they're seeing in the field, right? And they've all had a battery of classes that are similar in certain regards. The thing that you really want to do is just be able to connect with somebody on a significant level. And of course, 15, and we have heard some celebrities mention this. I don't want to take any pills. I don't want to take pills because I don't like the effect of them, right? If you're dead set against like pharmaceutical drugs, okay, that's fine. But if your depression or your anxiety is so severe that you struggle to function, well, medication that helps balance some of those chemicals like serotonin or dopamine or or others, right? They can help you get out of a ditch. So don't be so opposed to that necessarily. Therapy can help you build the tools to stay out of the ditch, and the medicine kind of gets you out the ditch, and then the therapy helps you stay out of the ditch. That's a really good way to think about that. Let that settle in for you guys. Okay? So those are the first 15 things that are out there. The first 15 tactics and barriers or the wrongful thoughts that we have about going to therapy as men. So that's what we're going to continue talking about today, because I think that a lot of us could really benefit from going to see somebody just to maybe get a checkup, find out what's really going on with ourselves. We deserve that. So we'll be right back after the break.
The Barbershop Group provides safe spaces for men to discuss issues of well-being and mental health. The Barbershop Group also serves as a resource to the community, providing consultations and public speakers through partnerships with attorneys, mental health professionals, family agencies, religious institutions, and other advocates. In the near future, the Barbershop Group seeks to renovate dilapidated residential and commercial properties in urban areas to create respite shelters for displaced men. We will also host mentorship retreats and workshops for young men and adults to foster growth through our Iron Sharpening Iron and our Rebuilding Men programs. In addition, we host a weekly podcast covering issues of mental health, homelessness, financial literacy, education, and leadership. If you would like to be a guest on our show, please email us at info@thebarbershopgroup.org, visit our Facebook page, or call 313-585-9948 for more information.
Hey, so back talking about the fact that you don't want to go see a therapist. Therapy isn't for you. I know therapy isn't for you, right? No. You guys know I'm joking. I just listed 15 reasons why you should go to a therapist, what a therapist can do with you, the different types of therapists that are out there, and just the beneficial effect of doing so. Man, I know it takes a lot of time to kind of warm up to the idea, but that's what we're here for at the Barbershop Group, right? Is to really provide you with some education about therapy and also a support network and just another pillar to lean on. Trust me, it's not easy going to therapy. The first time I did it as a kid was because I was suicidal. Okay? Second time I did it as a young adult was because I'd been caught cheating. And I'd been caught staying up at all hours of the night using pornography. Okay, another form of cheating. Especially when it's not something that you and your person agreed on. So, hey, yeah, it's not easy, but obviously looking back, I needed somebody to talk to about some stuff. In fact, I still need people to talk to about things. So, getting back to our long list, right? And a lot of guys out there say, hey, I tried it, but finding a therapist is impossible. Well, now, difficulty finding a therapist is one of the most common barriers to therapy, especially since 115 million Americans live in an area with less than one mental health professional for every 30,000 people. Might be a good idea to go back to school and become a therapist if you're interested, or talk to your children about doing that, right? We got to get these numbers up. Try asking your doctor for a recommendation, if you even go to your doctor, guys. And I know a lot of you all haven't been going, so we need to change that, especially now. But you can go to your doctor and ask for a recommendation, or start with who's on your insurance plan. You can set up some conversations. In fact, some of you guys who are working 9-to-5s, even if you don't have insurance on your 9-to-5, a lot of the times your company will have an employee assistance program where you're able to speak to a mental health professional that can get you linked up with someone close to you. So that's something you could look into. It's less like finding your go-to bagel store than it is discovery, you know, it's less like finding your go-to bagel store than it is discovering your favorite coffee shop. In the former, proximity and adequate everything bagel are really the only things that matter, right? But the latter takes trial and error, time, and a battery of pointed questions. You know, you deserve someone with whom you can be radically honest. And that's a big deal for guys, okay? Really, really big deal. You know, Dr. Drew Ramsey, a psychiatrist out of New York City, says, look, I always encourage people to have consultations with two or three different therapists, not just one. And there are a lot of people out there who say, well, I'm going to talk to this guy or I'll talk to that person and maybe I'll talk to somebody else, and then they make a decision. But it's perfectly okay to shop around until you find a good fit for yourself. Okay? Number 17. I wouldn't even know what to say if I saw a therapist. Yes, you would. They are a person just like you. They put their pants on or skirt on or whatever, shirt on, just like you. I don't know. You pick gender, do what you do. But you can start with these 7 questions, okay? You know, hey, doc, I'm dealing with X, whatever it is. What is your experience treating this type of issue? That's question number 1. Question number 2 that you might want to ask is, what kind of treatment or therapy do you think might benefit me the most? And number 3, how do you assess progress? Number 4 might be something like, can you describe how that works, right? Number 5, how long do you anticipate us working together? That could be really important. And of course, you want to find out, hey, well, what's your availability? And lastly, yeah, it's this is something that's on everybody's mind, is how much is this going to cost, right? Ask those questions, and that'll kind of help you go in the direction that you want to go in. And obviously, too, there are monetary constraints, and I understand that, right? Therapy's not cheap, depending on where you are in the country. I know therapists who charge as little as $60 an hour, and I know therapists who charge $100, $150 an hour, depending on where they are and what their specialties are. And just, there are a lot of factors that go into that, but this is why you want to reach out to people, and don't be bashful about talking about these issues, right? You've just got to be honest, okay? I'm broke, and I can't afford therapy, yeah? If you choose to go to someone outside of your insurance network, yeah, it could be pretty expensive. And quite a few therapists don't accept insurance at all. I won't talk to you about why they don't do that, but maybe we'll have somebody come on the show who can talk to you a little bit more about why they don't take insurance, okay? Many plans offer some out-of-work network coverage, but this means you'll have to carry the cost until you're partially reimbursed. If much of your anxiety stems from financial stress, well, this can range from untenable to unbearable. But, you know, since the early 2000s, right? Well, since 2010, telemental health or telemedicine, right? It's blossomed. And since COVID, it's expanded even more. A lot of research has shown that telemental health services, you know, so like video chats, phone, text message, chat messaging, all these chat messaging, all of these things are an effective way and a less costly way of doing therapy, right? So, hey, if you can get therapy right on your phone, why wouldn't you do that? Okay. Obviously, there are a few different ways to go about getting teletherapy. Everybody knows about Talkspace, and it's one that's been endorsed by, I believe, some celebrities out there. And you can download this app right on your phone. You know, the Talkspace app uses a network of vetted therapists who have at least 3,000 hours of clinical experience. You can send a text, audio, or video messages, and your therapist will usually respond the same day. And the cost is like $65 to $99 a week. Now, Talkspace is good for things like anxiety, depression, PTSD, relationship counseling, or eating disorders, right? There's another one out there, and this one is called 7 Cups of Tea. A lot of people may not have heard of 7 Cups of Tea, but it's a peer-to-peer network of volunteer listeners, and they're trained at active listening, and they're able to chat with you online. Licensed therapists are also available for an additional monthly fee. So it's kind of like a support network, right? And the cost of it, you'll like this one, it's completely free. Now, what is it good for? Well, it's good for those who want to connect with others who have similar issues and who may not have a lot of money. Another one out there is called BetterHelp. There are more than 5,000 licensed therapists in BetterHelp system, okay? And each are required to have a minimum of 3 years and 2,000 hours of hands-on experience. BetterHelp offers live phone chat sessions. And the cost of it is about $40 to $70 a week, okay? What is BetterHelp really good for? Stress, anxiety, depression, addiction, one of my favorites, anger, sleep problems, grief, and more. So you have to check BetterHelp out. That may be something that is kind of mid-level for you, mid-grade, and you might like it. So there's also WoBot. You're not robot, WoBot, W-O-E-B-O-T. What happens when cute startup culture, AI, and mental health come together? Yeah, you got it, WoBot. It's an AI-based chatbot that was created by a team of Stanford psychologists and AI experts. Now, I know a lot of you guys don't trust AI, and that's okay. You don't have to use it, but if you're open-minded and willing to check it out, by all means, do so. I would suggest you explore every opportunity out there. And what is it good for? Those who don't mind accepting life advice from, a robot. Personally, I'm not there yet. I don't even really like to trust Google. Now, what if my employer finds out that I'm seeing a therapist? Because I know there are a lot of guys who worry about that. You heard me mention using an employee assistance program. One of the reasons why a lot of people don't like to use employee assistance programs is because they're afraid that this is going to go on the record. But your employer won't find out, not unless you tell them, okay? And that's because there are a series of firewalls, one called HIPAA, which is short for Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Okay, everybody's probably heard it. A federal law that forbids your insurance company and your mental health care provider or any health care provider from disclosing any information about you to third parties without your explicit consent. All right, and that includes the diagnosis your therapist assigns for you for purpose of reimbursement. Okay, so in short, your employer will not find out about you seeing a therapist unless you choose to tell them. So keep that in mind. A lot of guys may ask, well, what if my friends find out? What if your friends find out? If they're good friends, they'll be supportive. But if they're assholes, yeah, I don't think that those are really your friends, right? So we don't have to even talk about that a whole lot. Here's a good one, though, because I'm sure that women who are listening will like this one as well. What if my spouse finds out and thinks it's about them? Oh, boy. Well, you know, a lot of times guys end up seeing therapists because their spouse or girlfriend or partner encourages them to do so, right? But you know, a lot of times if a guy is going to therapy and a spouse, a girlfriend, a partner finds out, a lot of times they'll probably be proud of you. Now, there are some other cases out there where your partner may have to check their own ego. No, your spouse or your partner can't come to you and confide everything in you. And I mentioned that to you before, that your spouse is not legally bound to protect your information. Okay, and so I get it, women, if you want your man to come out there and tell you everything and he doesn't do so, I don't know what to tell you. You're just gonna have to deal with that. But he doesn't have to disclose everything to you like that. Hopefully you guys can sit down and have a decent conversation, but you got to give him his space and he's got to give you yours. Okay, but one of the things that I do see happening sometimes is this: when a man begins to talk to someone else outside of his relationship about difficult things in his life, his partner will experience some jealousy and inadequacy. For that, I suggest that partner also seek therapy too, and at some point they decide to engage in therapy together in order to address all of those different things out there. Again, even though two people are together, as Will Smith and Jada have just proved, you are still individual people and you've got to do what works for yourself. Now, 22 and 23 are really together. A lot of guys try to say this: therapy is a rich person or a white person thing. Oh my God, right? Thankfully, there are more and more social workers and therapists who are African American, who are Latino or Latinx, who are Asian, who are speaking loudly about mental health in their communities. And that's great. No, therapy is not just for rich people. No, it is not just for white people. In fact, I always make the argument that somebody who has experienced high levels of trauma should be first in line at the therapy office. You deserve it. It should be your birthright. I also make the argument that descendants of slaves should get free therapy for the rest of their life, as long as they need it. I know that people don't like to hear that, but that's my stance and I'm sticking to it. So, it's not just a rich person thing, nor is it a white person thing. Okay? And, yeah, you know, I'm older. Some of you guys know how old I am. I hope that I can turn back the clock because it seems like things are going too fast. One of the things that I hear older people talking about today is they think that, you know, the younger generation is going to be better because the younger generation is more open to mental health services today. And that therapy is really a young person thing. Nah, bruh, I'm sorry. They just talk about it more than older people, but it's not a young person thing. Millennials may be more likely to talk about mental illness and treatment openly than older generations, but it's more common for those who are actually 50 and older to receive treatment for mental health issues. Haha, go chew on that one. Don't try to blame the millennials for this, man. Okay? And don't sit back, if you're older, don't sit back and act like you ain't got problems because you had a long time to be an old dog that don't want to learn new tricks. Now, come on, get with the program. Okay? Number 25. Guys will say, I don't have time to go somewhere, sit down and talk about my problems. Oh, for real? Okay, consider this. Every week, the average American spends 4 hours and 47 minutes on Facebook. They spend 3 hours and 2 minutes on Instagram. They spend 3 hours and 2 minutes on Snapchat. Wow. A therapy session typically lasts about 50 to 60 minutes a week. Isn't that something? Stop the foolishness, man. And there are a whole lot of guys out there who do it. In fact, you know, we have trouble growing our Instagram page because there are a lot of men out there who follow us, but they do it in a stealth way. They won't comment when we have provocative postings out there. They won't comment on Facebook. They won't comment on Twitter. They won't talk about going to therapy. They won't unveil who they are, but they spend a whole heck of a lot of time on social media looking at those ass girls. Don't get me wrong, I am an ass man. I like ass. Okay. I'm about hips and butt. I like it. I'm sorry. Okay. And I know that men out there will send a picture to somebody else real quick, but y'all won't make the same steps for your mental health, man. And you need to do that. Okay. You definitely need to do that. Number 26. Oh, I went once. It didn't work. You need to go back, rewind this podcast to number 16. In other words, you might have to look deeper into yourself a little more, and you may have to look a little harder for a therapist, but they do exist. 27. I wanted to sleep with my therapist. It got weird, and I quit. Oh, my goodness. Now, I'm just going to tell y'all straight up. It's a lot of hot therapists out there. We know there are. We know some of them. Don't ask me who they are because I ain't going to tell you. Okay? But, oh, yeah, well, this does happen. I had a hot therapist at one point. Okay? But it didn't get weird. But if you think about it, you're in a small room with somebody. Your secrets are coming out. You're in an emotional colander. And they accept you for it. In fact, they're sympathetic. Of course, intimacy, like, is going to flower because you've never experienced that on that level before. And it makes sense why you might misidentify it as romantic. Sometimes you have to pick someone you're not attracted to, though. That's actually a really good idea. And sometimes you write about it, you know, and other guys pick up on it and they say, wait a minute, man, I don't want to go get that vixen therapist because I know I'm not going to be paying attention to a thing coming out of her mouth. If you know that's going to be a problem for you, avoid that. Go see someone else. 28. The only thing worse than going to therapy is hanging out in the therapist's waiting room. If you're not doing therapy online or via one of the apps that I mentioned, and you're visiting a real-life therapy office, seeing the faces of your fellow patients as they scurry to and from the office, it can be pretty awful, man, especially for couples counseling. Like, oh my God, all your business is out. What are you doing there, Bob and Teresa, right? But instead of seeing the suffering of you and your fellow human beings as shameful, you could look at it a little differently. You might take that moment to feel comforted that not only are you not alone in needing help, but you're not alone in getting help. You all who saw each other at the therapy office are the smart individuals right now. You are taking control of your life, where everybody else outside of that therapy office, well, yeah, they're not taking control of their lives yet. Okay? Number 29. I have so many other day-to-day hassles in my life that need my immediate attention. Therapy? Yeah, that's not one of them, dude. I don't have time for that. Well, yeah, maybe right now you don't, but, you know, you could argue that that's going to be really, really expensive down the line. So, a good psychotherapist will make you a more successful person, a more grounded person, a wealthier individual. However you define wealth, whether that's monetary or physical, whatever the case may be, a really good therapist is going to help you meet your goals. They're going to help you become more effective in your life. Why not take advantage of that? All right? So, and the last thing, and this one is really, really cool. Let's just put it out there. Man, shit. I am scared shitless of going to therapy. Yeah, that's a big one. But it's not impossible to overcome, okay? You really, really can overcome your fear of therapy. Stay in touch with the barbershop group. Stay in touch with the people that we reference in the barbershop group. Get in touch with some of our therapists who we link up to, therapists who help do the podcast for us, right? They have numerous resources out there for you to help ease this process, okay? And remember that on the other side of fear is everything you could ever want and everything you could ever love in your life. So if you remain scared, my friend, you're not going to live your best life. So just wanted to talk a little bit about those tactics and barriers, things that we men say and do to avoid going to therapy. Let me change that up. Those were the things that we say and do to avoid having the best life that we could possibly have. So take some time to think about these things. Share these with your friends and family members. If you like the podcast or if you hate the podcast, leave us a message. You can email us at thebarbershopgroup.org, info@thebarbershopgroup.org. You can get in touch with us on Instagram at The Barbershop Group, Twitter, and Facebook. Okay? Or if you want to reach me personally, you can reach me on Facebook at Charles Ketchings or on Instagram at The Mind Barber. I share a whole lot of my life openly with you guys because I've been there, done it. I continue to struggle through things myself, and some things I'm doing well with and other things, yeah, I'm still working through. But we're here for you guys. We just want you to get the help that you need. So as I always say, guys, take care of yourselves. Love you more. Love your people more. Until next time, be well. We'll talk to you soon.